I'm going to begin with looking at these Old Testament characters together. There are so many lessons that can be found, and they're very helpful for you and I today. These messages are going to prick at our heart, and sometimes you'll say to the preacher, "You stepped on my toes," and I heard a preacher one time say, "I missed, I was aiming for your heart," and that's exactly what I want us to do. These messages are very personal. While we preach to a congregation, this Bible study, these lessons are meant to be very personal, very applicable to you and to I. And so this is one of those things that when I preach, I'm also preaching to myself, of course. We want to be faithful. We want to be strong in our service and commitment to God. And so while, again, we'll be talking about different Bible characters this morning, we want to make the application for us today. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1 says that the law was a shadow of good things to come. And Paul tells us that that word of God is the things that happened to the Israelites. This is 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I'm going to roll through some passages here. 1 Corinthians 10:13, ones that you're familiar with. He says that the things that happened to them were written for our admonition, and they are there as an example for us. And so we are to learn from these passages. We learn a lot of great truths about God in the Old Testament, most assuredly. So many of the lessons that we've known from our youth up, sometimes we need to revisit them. We tend to sometimes keep them in the younger classes, and yet these lessons from different individuals, when we look at their faith, we learn great things. Look at James chapter 1. And in verse 17, though, if you would turn over there to James chapter 1 and verse 17. James says, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." A lot of things that we're going to talk about, the reason these messages are so relevant is because of human nature, God being the one who created us, we certainly understand that He, knowing us, knows how we're going to behave. He understands attitudes. He understands exactly what He expects of us and wants of us. And in so many ways, that doesn't change. The Old Testament to the New Testament, there's a lot of change from the law that was given to the Israelites, the law of Moses, and we come to the New Testament and what we do today. But so much of this is based on what God has always been requiring of man, and that is for us to serve Him faithfully with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Let's look at Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And again, this passage will make the point that whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So these things were actually written for our learning. And we are blessed. We are so blessed to have the Word of God. I read from the New King James Version, in case you're wondering. And some of you may read from the ESV, the American Standard, New American Standard, King James Version. Whatever translation, you are so blessed to have in English the Word of God, to be able to learn from these examples that we're going to be looking at throughout the week. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this was written, of course, by Paul to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, when he says all Scripture, and this is one that you're familiar with, it's quoted often, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God doesn't fail. Now, I brought that passage up to just say that all Scripture, and of course this would have been, as it is said of Timothy, that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures. What Scriptures would that have been? That would have been the Old Testament, correct? So all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it's there for us to learn. And so we go back and we look at these stories, these Bible characters, and we see what we can learn from them. So let's go ahead and let's look at Abel. Let's look at let's start in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. And you'll notice that all week I've set up all my slides the same way. I hope you'll become very familiar with them. to not make it monotonous, I was so creative, I changed the background colors some. But this way, you, those of you that take notes, it should be very easy for you to start following. So we're looking at the left-hand corner, Hebrews 11, verse 4. And we'll follow the passages there. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. So Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Let's see what we can learn about that. Well, let's go over to Genesis chapter 4, and let's look at the account as recorded here. Go back to the original, if you would. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3. And it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Now, Abel didn't just offer some old sacrifice, just whatever. What kind of sacrifice did he offer? Look at the descriptive terms. He offered the first of his flock. What else? He offered the fat of his sheep, right? Of his flock, right? So he offered the first and he offered the fat. And it's described by the Hebrew writer as what? A more excellent sacrifice. Now, how does faith come? By hearing the word of God. So we need to make the point that, of course, Cain and Abel both understood what God would require of them. Is God just if you don't know what's required of you? No, it wouldn't be just at all if we didn't know what God asked of us. Now, the point I want to make here is that Abel's sheep were the first of the flock, the fat of the flock. And what does it mean by the first lambs of the flock? All right, and so is that something God will then go on to require? Yes, first fruits. Why the first? It's the best. And not only that, but if you think about, you get your crop and you're supposed to bring the very first. Is that not trusting and depending on God that there's going to be that which follows? There will be more. Yeah. And God wanted them to understand who they were dependent upon, right? Well, Abel had a good understanding of that. If you look at Cain's sacrifice, if you look there, it says in verse 2, it says that Abel was a keeper of sheep, Cain was a tiller of the ground. And so then you look at what Cain brought, it says he brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. What's missing there? There's some descriptive terms that's missing, all right? So look at the next verse here in verse 5. But he did not respect Cain for his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. God had respect for Cain's. He did not have respect for, had respect for Abel's, correct? All right. Now, what does it mean that he brought of the fat? Now, again, start thinking about what you understand about how God gets upset with the Israelites further down the road. What did they start bringing? This will be some of the things we talk about during the week. The what? Okay. But fat describes what about the... Right. And so later Israel would bring what? Right. And so there was very clear instruction. I don't want the one that's got a broken foot. I don't want that's sickly. I don't want any of it to have a blemish. I want your best. Did somebody understand that? Abel understood that, didn't he? Abel understood that well. And because Abel offered an excellent sacrifice, God respected Abel. Now, we also learned that though Abel has been dead for a long time, what did the passage say? What does he do? He still speaks to us. So we're supposed to learn from this, correct? We're supposed to learn from this lesson. We all hope, I think, when we pass that our life has been such that it still speaks well of the things of God, right? We don't want to die and everybody look at our grave and go, boy, he sure was rotten. She sure was a rascal. not as God's people, right? So Abel yet speaks. By faith, Abel did these things. Now, let me make this point. His excellent sacrifice was a product or the produce of his faith. That's what Hebrews 11:4 says. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. So this speaks to what kind of faith we should have. It should be very productive. It should be that which produces excellent things. So let's make some application. Now, you know the answer to this question. Should we give the Lord our very best? Of course we should. What about when we sing? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. I'm so tired. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. Shame on us. Put your feet on the floor. Open your mouth. And glorify God in heaven because He is worthy of our very best. Excellent worship. What about your giving? Should it be the very best? We're told to give cheerfully. Oh, here comes the basket again. Hey, listen, if you want to be part of something that just wastes money, then go out here and be a part of a denomination. When I was preaching in Wisconsin, the old Catholic church remodeled. I think they spent $1 million. I was in some of those people's homes, and they said, we're so tired of them begging for money. They didn't even want to go to Mass because they just got begged for money. What about in the Lord's church? What does He expect of us? Because we're getting rid of all that false doctrine and false teaching and denominationalism. What does the Lord require of us when it comes to our giving? Wanting to give our best. And so how's that described? As you have what? Prospered. As you have what in your heart? So you this morning purposed and in your heart determined what you're going to give. Is it the junk? Is it the leftover? We went to Disney World this week. We don't have any money left. So what does God get? Well, I happen to find a $5 in my wallet. God is worthy of our very best. We don't do this grudgingly, willingly. What's the work of the Lord's church? To save souls. Wiley prayed about that. That we would take that serious. So evangelism, right? Benevolence. Are those things worthy of and need our attention in a very thoughtful way? Worship, edification. There's things that are needed here to maintain where you come to worship. I'm sure the children probably have Bible class material. Is there a reason for us to give and give willingly and cheerfully and give our best? Absolutely. Well, wait a minute. What about the way I dress? Now you're stepping on toes. Honestly, have you ever known a member of the church that you never saw in hardly anything worth, never in a suit, but the first time a third and fourth down the road uncle dies, they go to a wedding and they've been asked to participate, but to come to the worship and give our very best? Disrespectful clothing for worship is inappropriate when we possess better things. And this is something that, again, is growing to be a bigger problem. And I think those in older generations understand this. Now, don't misunderstand me. Improper dress for worship or Bible study is becoming an increasingly larger problem. And some might say, well, at least they're here. And that's true. But what's our point? By faith, we respect God, and we give Him our very best. So, how many of you went to bed at a decent hour so you would be well equipped this morning? Did you play your video games till 2 in the morning? Did you come in late because you've been doing other things or you just skipped the Bible study? Is God not worthy of our best? Now listen, one of the things we're going to understand is, does God see what's going on in our life? Absolutely. Can't hide from Him. We're going to study about that as well. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, if you look at chapter 12 and verse 1, the way we behave, the way we speak during our whole lifetime should be an excellent sacrifice. What does Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice should your life be? Whatever. Certainly not. Probably preaching to the choir, right? As they say, because you're here. All right, let's talk about Eli. We can still learn from Eli. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, Eli's the priest. Hannah is not able to have children. She's being taunted. So she goes to the temple. And while she's in the temple, we got Eli who jumps to the wrong conclusion. Let's begin reading in verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating, drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So he thinks that she's drunk. Well, in verse 4, so Eli said, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So he thinks